I should know that.
So we're still there. Couple of weeks ago, have we got the sound quite right, James? I'm just getting a bit of muffled feedback. A couple of weeks ago, I gave, for the very first time, a talk on food. I'd never done that before in my life. And it was a lot of fun, actually. I rather enjoyed that. And I sort of introduced the idea that week of, there can be grievous times that we go through as individuals, or we see other people that we love go through grievous times. Unfortunately and tragically, a week doesn't go by, even in our community, the small community of ours, where a grievous situation doesn't surface. And in this last week, someone sent me through an email just to say that they've been diagnosed with cancer. Someone my age. So here again is another grievous situation in our community, this church of ours. And you wonder, how are we to respond to this? When we find ourselves in a grievous situation, or we find someone else that we love in a grievous situation, how do we respond? And several weeks ago, I said, well, sometimes food. In other words, if someone is going through a really hard time, a sad time, things aren't going well for them, actually, one of the best things that we can do sometimes is to have a party, to have a pick-me-up, to have a tonic, to have time out. Food and party sometimes is an antidote to sadness. Yes? Sometimes that's the best thing to do. But at other times, as I was trying to establish last weekend, sometimes the best response is fasting. In other words, sometimes food, but at other times fasting. And last weekend I was saying that when we go without food, that is not necessarily fasting, that's abstaining. So what is fasting? Fasting is when we are responding to a grievous situation. By the way, did anybody fast this last week? Yeah, quite a few hands going up. Half hands, because we're not meant to put full hands up, are we? Just half hands. So that's good. So sometimes the best response to a grievous situation is fasting. Sometimes food, sometimes fasting. This morning I want to suggest another response, a third response. And this one is doing nothing. As some of you know, we are in our crossover series, which is the theme of the 6-month period that we find ourselves in. We're doing spiritual practices and spiritual disciplines. I want to suggest a new practice, a new spiritual practice this morning. And it's the practice of doing nothing. I think this one you may think you like, but actually it's harder than what you think. The practice of doing nothing, okay? So I get this practice. You see, I'm a teacher. And actually during this last week, Carey Baptist College, that trains pastors, they hauled me in, as they sometimes do, and they hauled me into the preaching class. And they said, Mick, could you share, all the wisdom that you have? So I spoke for 2 minutes. And I said that, sometimes when you come to this book, especially with churches that have been through this book over the decades, a little secret is to approach it from different angles. So instead of going to the major players, you go to the minor characters. You approach a text from a different angle. So I want to do that this morning, and just bear with me on this. If you could turn now to Acts 13. I want to introduce you to the new spiritual practice, the practice of doing nothing.
Okay, here we go.
Acts 13. And what I decided to do in this last week was read this chapter and try and note a word, an important word that was repeated often. And I thought I would use that as a kind of a shaping text. Okay? So, here we go. I'm not going to read out all of 13. We got up to verse 12 last week. So, verse 13 of chapter 13. But I don't want us to read the whole text, as I said. Verse 13, it says this. Then Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, however, left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went up from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And then it says, on the what day? On the Sabbath day. They went into the synagogue and sat down. Okay. If you come with me now to verse 27, same chapter. And it says here, because the residents of Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize them or understand the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. So we strike the word Sabbath again. Okay, next verse, verse 42. And it says here, chapter 13, as Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people urged them to speak about these things again the next, come on guys, next Sabbath. Thank you. Verse 44. And then it says, the next Sabbath. So what I want to do this morning is look at this word Sabbath. Now, the word Sabbath, people, it comes from Judaism. And in Hebrew, the word for Sabbath is Shabbat. Could everybody say Shabbat? You were tempted to say, no, I won't say that. The word for Sabbath is Shabbat. Now, what that word actually means is to cease, to stop, and to desist. Did you get that? To stop, to cease, and desist. Okay? Now, it's a Judaistic word, and it is also a command. This word Shabbat, this word Sabbath. Sabbath means to stop, desist, and to cease. And it's actually a command in Scripture. Come with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to the Ten Commandments, and if you come with me to verse 8, and it says this. It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and you shall not do any work, you, your son, or your daughter, and the kids, of course, like that part. Your male or female slave, and your spouse might like that. Your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Now, here we go, friends. There are two things from Exodus chapter 20 about the Sabbath. The first thing is, it is a commandment. In other words, God is telling us, This is something. This is a must-do thing. You have no choice. It's not an optional. It's an imperative. You must keep this. Now, if I was to paraphrase this, it's like God would be saying something like this today. He would be saying, don't just do something, stand still. Or to put it a slightly different way, God would be saying, don't just do something, stand there. Which is the reversal of, don't just stand there, do something. Are you with me? So to kind of paraphrase, this whole sense of Sabbath as a commandment, we don't have an optional thing on this. God would be saying, don't just do something, stand there. So it's a command. That's the first thing. Now the second thing is, we are told in this passage, of all the commands, this is the only one of the Ten Commandments that we are to remember. Did you notice that? If you read that section of all the Ten Commandments, it says, what does it say right at the beginning of verse 8? It says, remember. In other words, what I think God is trying to tell us here is that when it comes to keeping Sabbath, don't let this one slip from memory. Don't forget this. Retain it. Keep it always before you. Don't forget this one. And you know, friends, of all the commandments, this is the one that I think needed to be remembered. Because arguably it's caused more deaths than in the neglect of this one than any other one. Even the one about murder. Thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not kill. Of all the commandments that our world needed to remember, it's this one. Because the neglect of this commandment actually has created so many health problems. Is that right? It's caused heart disease. It's called performance stress. It's caused all manner of things. Do you know, I read a survey. And a survey was taken in 2010 of 318 schools here in New Zealand, and 40% of the schools came back and said that their students are suffering from high levels of performance stress. Who here, even amongst us adults, suffers from performance stress at work? Who here, hands up, feeling stressed, overloaded, overworked, too much on your list, there's too much to get through? Yeah, even Carol. Okay, so friends, my next question is this. So what is Sabbath? And how do you know you're keeping it? And even more, when is Sabbath? When is it? When do you keep Sabbath? And when you keep it, what do? Tell the person next to you. Go to it. Okay, guys, here we go. So, grievous situations occur. There are a number of responses to a grievous situation. Sometimes food, sometimes fasting, sometimes doing nothing. We get this practice of doing nothing from the notion of Sabbath. And in Hebrew, the word Sabbath is Shabbat. Say it again. Shabbat. To stop, to cease, to desist. Okay. But when do we keep Sabbath? Now, the Jews, when do they keep Sabbath? From sundown Friday right through to sundown Saturday. If you were to go to the land of Israel today, or even any other land, the Jews on Friday night would invariably, they would start with candles and welcoming visitors and so forth and so on. And they'd go right through and they would have a glass of wine with some spicy food on Saturday night. If you were to go to the land of Israel, in a lot of homes, they have these automated light switches on the wall that are preset on Thursday. So in other words, there is the minimizing of doing stuff on the Sabbath. That's what they work hard at. When do we keep Sabbath? Now, the early church, what they decided to do in order to be in some senses different from the Jews, they decided to have their Sabbath on what day? On Sunday. The Lord's Day, the Resurrection Day, to keep it on Sunday. In the year AD 321, a Roman emperor by the name of Constantine, he made it legal for everybody to have Sabbath on the Sunday. Now, but so when do you keep Sabbath? Do you keep Sabbath? To answer that question, we have to ask another one. What is Sabbath? What actually is it? Come with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1 verse 31. Okay. Stick with me on this, friends. 1:31. And it says this. Now God saw, so God had just worked. He had created over 6 days. Verse 31. God saw that God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And then it says, on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. And we saw that process, work, Sabbath, in Exodus 20 as well. So stick with me, guys. Come back. This is important. New spiritual practice, the practice of doing nothing. To understand what Sabbath is, we have to first understand what your work is. God worked for 6 days, then Sabbath. And it says, on the Sabbath, he rested from his work. So, to understand what your Sabbath is, you need to first of all understand what your work is. You getting this? So therefore, name your work. Name your work. What is your work? When does your work begin? And when does your work end? And it's different for each of us. And it applies to all of us. You may be a stay-at-home mum, a stay-at-home dad, a retiree, or a person that gets on the bus on Monday morning and is at work 5 days a week. We are all workers in this room, be it unpaid or paid work. Can I have a yes on that? I think so. We are all workers. So to understand what your Sabbath is, you first of all have to name your work, when it begins and when it ends. So do that with the person next to you. Tell them, what is your work? Go to it. Okay, friends. So, to understand what your Sabbath needs to be, the practice of doing nothing, you first of all have to understand what your work is. Now, I'm going to give you some examples. Just imagine someone, and during their working week, whenever that is, whatever that is, work involves making, planning, providing, organizing, deciding, detailing. You could go through the list. And then they get to their weekend. And come Saturday and come Sunday, they go mauling, they do the shopping, they do the cleaning, they clean the garage, they rifle through boxes, they do a bit of this and a bit of that. If that is the case, are they keeping Sabbath? No. That was a no-brainer. In other words, during the week, organizing, providing, planning, deciding, decision-making, blah, blah, blah. Similarly, same work dynamics on Saturday and Sunday, just in different things, but same work dynamics. So no Sabbath. Are you with me? No Sabbath. Let me give you another example. So, Monday to Friday, planning, organizing, deciding, you know, providing, making, organizing, doing all of these wonderful things. And then, oh, Saturday, fishing. You know, getting the boat ready, going, traveling to the lake or the river or the sea, putting the boat out, you know, getting out into the favorite spot, putting the line over, catching the fish, filleting the fish, hiding the undersized fish, then coming back, cleaning the boat, you know, getting home, making the meal, enjoying the fish. Is that Sabbath? No, that's leisure. No, that is not Sabbath. That is leisure. And here's my point, friends. Very few Christians today are keeping the command, one of the Ten